Parfois on a juste besoin d'un petit La toile est ébouchée, tuyau d'égout percé. Pas de scène immobile, ni de voisin en ville. Il faut se retenir ou laisser sortir un petit gaz. Parfois on a vraiment besoin d'un petit gaz. On doit serrer les fesses, l'estomac en détresse. Situation précaire, dans un rendez-vous d'affaires. Il faut juste un gaz mignon, juste un gaz nauséabond, pour mettre un doux sourire sur ton visage.
Broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain, BC, we are CJSF 90.1 FM, and we are diverse, independent, and yours. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
25 years of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. It's time to celebrate. Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Hello. My name is Catherine Fisher, and I had the pleasure of interviewing 6 bilingual Canadians for this podcast. In this episode, I speak to independent podcaster Patrick Lack.
You're a Franco-Ontarian by birth, and you're living in a small mountain community in British Columbia. What brought you to Nelson, and what keeps you in Nelson?
Yes, exactly. I spent most of my life in between Quebec and Ontario. I was born in Ottawa, raised in Gatineau, but my whole family on my dad's side from Sudbury, Ontario. 5 years ago, me and my partner decided to make a drastic change to our lives and sell the house, buy an RV, grab the kids, and move out to BC. That was the plan 5 years ago, and we actually made the move a year and a half. So it's been only a year and a half that we actually settled down in Nelson, BC. At the time, we were living in Mont-Tremblant, Quebec, so surrounded by a beautiful landscape. The ski was excellent, but I guess the mountains weren't big enough for us, and we came to visit BC a few times, fell in love with the place, and just started asking ourselves where we'd want to live, and we decided on the West Kootenays. We couldn't make up our minds between Roslyn and Nelson. And finally, with job opportunities, we decided to settle down in Nelson, and we just love it out here. Although we're always back and forth in Roslyn, meeting friends and visiting over there. I grew up in Gatineau, Ottawa. Outdoor sports, cross-country skiing, canoe camping was always a big part of our lives, and we just found a sweet spot that has like huge mountains. We've got the Kootenay Lake right next to us. We've got rivers to go kayaking, canoeing, and all the hiking we can do. And also, it's a very cultural little village over here, which in Mont-Tremblant, I didn't really find. I would always go back to Montreal. And here, it seems there's a genuine, like, culture life. And for me, that's very important. I'm not just all about outdoors. I've been a songwriter for 10 years in Montreal, and I've always worked in theaters, actual theaters. I've worked in bars and venues. I've organized shows, and it's just always been a big part of my life to go see art. And Nelson has all that to offer.
What languages did you speak at home when you were a child?
So my mom's from the South Shore of Montreal, so her family, it was just French. And my dad is from Sudbury, Ontario, a large Francophone family. So basically, they just spoke Franglish all the time. And at our home in Gatineau, it was French, with a very good access to English arts and movies and books. And we'd go to the theater in Ottawa. And when family would come over from whatever, Montreal or Ontario, we'd usually start the conversations in French. And then at some point, when everyone's very fired up, we'd switch to English, start yelling around, and it'd be just like a big family party dinner.
Did you go to school in French?
Yes, I've been in the Quebec French public schools all of my life. I also did spend 1 year in Thailand when I was 18 years old, so that's my experience abroad in another language, completely different than French or English, but most of my life was always in French.
Has your concept of being bilingual changed over time?
I mean, I was basically born bilingual, and I think when I went abroad, to Asia to spend a year in Thailand as an exchange student. I've learned a lot of the hardship of learning a new language. So for me, it's not becoming a bilingual, but trying to learn a new language with no, like, the family I was living with were amazing and very loving and caring, but they didn't speak English or French. And my high school in Thailand was completely a regular Thai public school. So I had to, like, learn it the hard way, use kindergarten booklets, start from kindergarten, then grade one, grade two, learn how to read and write like a kid. And I think that that was a good way of learning a language, because it's still with me today, but it was definitely a very challenging way to learn a language.
How did you get into podcasting?
So I probably discovered podcasts maybe a little later than everyone else, because I remember hearing about podcasts and not really even knowing where to listen to them. And I would say it's probably a year or two after everyone was just going crazy about podcasts that I finally realized that I had that button on my iPhone and I just didn't know what it was. And I just started listening to a lot of CBC content and also NPR and just the podcast, the daily. And it was just before Trump got elected. And I remember they had a very interesting series about, it was called The Caliphate. It was done by The Daily, but they were looking at what was happening in the Middle East. And I got hooked. And then when the pandemic hit, that was for me really the main source of trusted info. I wouldn't listen to TV or barely any radio just because I didn't have a radio set in my house and we didn't have cable. I would really wait every morning to see what the daily podcast had to tell me about COVID. And then I just kept on listening to it ever since. And I've became totally addicted to the format. It's like radio, but without the ads. And it really takes time to go deep in a subject and you have to imagine everything because there's no image. So it kind of resonated with me because I have such a big background in music and in radio production, but the podcast was just very, very magical when I started listening to it. And I would listen to hours and hours every day. And then I was like, yeah, I think that would be something I'd like to do eventually. But I had a concept of a possible podcast about the history of ski in Canada. But it's really when I moved out to Nelson, BC a year and a half ago, and the Francophone Association here, AFCO, which is like tremendous and has lots of ideas. And they were looking for someone to actually have carte blanche and make up, invent a podcast for and about the Francophone community here. And I just fell in love with the idea. I went to meet with Lynn Chartier, the director, and I saw that we could get along so well together. And that was really my first entrance to the podcasting world, and now I love it. We finished the first season of Franc Ouest and we're just waiting to start the second season. We've got all these crazy ideas and it's just such a beautiful format.
I can only imagine how many people you've met podcasting. It must be an amazing way to integrate yourself into the community.
Oh yeah, and when I started, that was my, I wouldn't say a reserve, but that was my first thing on my list. I'm like, yes, I would love to do a podcast about the community, but I have no idea what the community is like and who would be interesting to meet. So I First thing I did, I asked a bunch of members of the Francophone community here to meet up with me, and we just had a few meetings discussing which subjects we should approach and which people I should interview and what kind of questions. And they were really helpful. Most of them continued to help me throughout the production. They would listen to the rough episodes and comment and bring me ideas. And for me, it was an amazing way to integrate the community here, because I would call people out of the blue and be like, I'm new here, but I've heard that you have a crazy story about avalanche rescue. I would love to meet up, interview you. No stress. There's just me and you. We're gonna talk like friends and hopefully become friends. It was just amazing to spend like an hour with that person and go really deep into whatever subject they wanted to talk about. Their childhood, their art, their job, their passion, their dreams, their regrets. It's just fascinating, the stories that they decided to talk about.
I feel like I could talk to you for a long time, but I don't have a limited time, so I'll just ask a last question. 2023 is the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's 25th anniversary. What does this annual celebration mean for you, and has that meaning changed over your life?
I know, it's crazy. 25 years. I kind of remember the first editions, because I would always see posters at Cégep, or when I went to Ottawa, I used to work at the Théâtre La Nouvelle Scène, which is a Francophone institution downtown Ottawa, and they'd have the posters all around. And I don't think then I don't remember like going on the website or going to the events. I just remember hearing about RVF and some of the events that they were putting on in Ottawa or Gatineau. And now that I'm more interested in all the different, well, the diversity, the Canadian diversity of the Francophone community, I'm so enthusiastic every year when I just look at the programming. And I just remember last year there was the culinary like contest, and I thought, yeah, that's the way to do it. It's not just about the words and speaking French or not speaking French. It's all the culture surrounding the Canadian Francophony. I mean, I did the Chasse au Trésor recently with my kids. Then I printed out the map on the RVF website, and we just had such a blast. And it's fun that RVF is there and has all those just ideas that you can use. Like, I printed it out and we did it with my kids, and my kids thought I was the coolest dad, and I never told them I just printed it out. I told them, oh yeah, I invented that, of course. Yeah, okay. But I mean, it's just fun to have someone in your corner when you're in a minority setting, like, and to have all these activities and videos and the contests. It's little things that help in the everyday of being a Francophone in a majority English-speaking community.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me about this today.
It's been my pleasure, Catherine.
Thanks for tuning in to the Rendezvous de la Francophonie's Franco podcast. In this episode, you heard from independent podcaster Patrick Lack.
Hey, this is Eboshi from Cartel Madras, and you're listening to CJSF.
Ha huagestig ri CGSF, nached poing aun FM, Crowley vo Burnaby, British Columbia.
Le coup est parti tout seul, crois-moi, j'ai pas fait exprès. Corrida continue de planter tes épées dans ma tête. J'ai craché sur le plancher, tombé dans l'escalier. Cruise, cruise, push, push, sans jamais t'arrêter. Coke à 16 ans sur le banc de la piste cyclable. Été resserre en attente, l'été s'annonce respectable. L'été s'annonce respectable. L'été s'annonce respectable. Choisis le poison, mais choisis le bien. Je suis à l'autre bout de la ville, laisse-moi le temps te rejoindre. J'ai quelques billets dans les poches, mais c'est tout ce qui reste dans les coffres. J'espère ton gars est pas trop crash. J'ai pas de muscles pour jouer au taf. Qu'on nous lance la première pierre, chacun recherche son buzz. Fils d'ouvrier ou médecin, la quantité suit le cob. Neurones heureux à recoller quand t'es sur les bancs d'école. Les cops ont manqué leur basse. L'été s'annonce respectable. L'été s'annonce respectable. L'été s'annonce respectable. L'été s'annonce respectable. Si le weed goûte le wind.